It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night. It is Monday, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. We're always streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app, that free download in the Google Play Store and in the Apple iTunes Store as well. You can find all of our exclusive podcasting, well, all of our exclusive interviews, our full show podcasting, our exclusive web content is all there, so download that. It is totally free. You can also just listen to us on your Amazon Echo. A lot of people saying, Brady, I don't have a radio in my house anymore, but we've got that Amazon Echo. We just say, enable 101.3 ESPN, and there we go. So however you're listening, we appreciate it. Very short show. We'll get into it in a second. 6:15, we go off the air today because it is Red Sox baseball, Sox against the Orioles. Manny Machado not in the lineup, so the Orioles are, well, they're the worst team in baseball right now, and they're playing without Manny Machado, and that's going to make them even worse. So Red Sox send Steven Wright to the mound. We'll give you those lineups about 10 minutes from now. Yesterday was a great day for me. Fun day being out on the baseball field. Complete game one-hit shutout. Don't know how many more of those there will be this year. So fun. Team did enough to win. We hit just enough. We played great defense. Great play out in right field. A couple of really good plays. Shortstop. Good catching. Great umpiring. All great yesterday. It was a great weekend for Jess's birthday. We had a lot of fun. Spirit of Ethan Allen Cruz was awesome. First time I'd ever done that. That was just, I mean, what a night it was on Saturday night. Just absolutely beautiful. So fun to be out. Let's get into the show right away. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. The NFL messed up this situation with Julian Edelman, but they don't have an agenda against the Patriots. And those are two separate thoughts, and they're two separate arguments. Julian Edelman has been suspended for performance-enhancing drugs. We now know today, we learned today, that Julian Edelman was suspended for an unknown substance. Scientists are testing and analyzing. In this country, you're innocent until proven guilty. You get suspended when we have proof that you cheated or when you ingested or injected or inhaled something that is illegal. You get suspended from the NFL or in the NFL for 4 games when you clearly violate the rule. Look, I'm not saying Julian Edelman's innocent. That's not what this is about. The NFL, instead of innocent until proven guilty, they went guilty until proven innocent, and that is not the way to do business. That does not how it work. That's not how it works in law. That's not how it should work in the NFL. Look, I agree that Julian Edelman taking a substance that is undetectable, it looks guilty, right? That to me is a further implication of guilt. But if you're going to tell me, if you're going to sit here and tell me that what he took, we don't know exactly what it is or what it contains, then I'm going to need to do some more testing on that to find out exactly what it is, what's in it, how it's made, and does it 100% officially violate the league's performance-enhancing drug policy. Again, I agree. It looks bad. I believe he's more guilty today than he was a week ago. But that doesn't change the what's right and what's wrong here. The league needs to know what they're suspending him for before they suspend him. And there's not a game next week or the week after. We've got 2 months until preseason action. And oh, by the way, then we've still got 3 weeks until, or 3 weeks after that, until week one of the NFL season. 2 months away from the start of preseason games, and then an additional 3 weeks after that before we get to the start of the regular season. This isn't time sensitive. Do your due diligence. Do your homework. Get it right. Edelman knew this was coming. The Patriots knew this was coming. What's the difference whether they find out about the final answer in the beginning of June or in the beginning of August? Do this thoroughly and do it correctly and get the exact answer, because the NFL, it's possible that they could be sitting here with egg on their face at the end of this thing and saying, you know what, we suspended him for something that he didn't deserve to be suspended for. And then the NFL, which has constantly looked bad in these terms of suspensions with players for any number of infractions across the board will continue to look bad. And that's not good for Edelman, for the Patriots, or for the league. Do your due diligence, be thorough, get it right. If he deserves to be suspended, he deserves to be suspended. But you are innocent until proven guilty, not guilty until proven innocent. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. But Patriot fans, look, I'm on your side about that. But the woe is me Patriot fans that I see on our Facebook page and I see on our Twitter account saying, oh, here, I mean, it was James in Starksboro and the Time for a Tire text line, 4 o'clock hour of the huddle, who said, well, he's getting railroaded because he's a Patriot and basically the league hates the Patriots. Completely untrue. Look, I believe that leagues have preferences about who's good. If you tell me, yeah, would the NBA rather have LeBron James in the finals or the Atlanta Hawks? The answer is LeBron James. Would the NFL or would Major League Baseball like to see the Red Sox and Yankees be really good rather than the Tampa Bay Rays? Yeah, they would. The league has preferences. But I do not believe that the leagues have agendas. Boston is a major media market. The league would like the Patriots to be good. They don't want to sap the Patriots of their talent, so they don't just unnecessarily go out and make the Patriots worse than they could be. And taking it further, if the NFL had an agenda, you know what you would see? You would see the Giants coming off a playoff berth, not 3-13. You would see the Cowboys playing for NFC championships, not the Minnesota Vikings. You wouldn't see the Indianapolis Colts being in the AFC Championship year after year. You would have seen more high-profile franchises like the Kansas City Chiefs and the Oakland Raiders. You would have seen more legacy franchises like the Denver Broncos playing for more and more championship games, not the Colts and, oh, by the way, the Jaguars. So the league has preferences, but the league does not have an agenda to railroad your team. And they're not intentionally sabotaging the Patriots unnecessarily just because they're the Patriots and because, oh, Goodell has it out for them. Goodell benefits from the Patriots being good. He benefits from the Patriots being interesting. Whether you like him as a fan or you love to hate him because of the villains, he benefits from the Patriots being interesting. In the same way, he benefits from the Cowboys, the Raiders, these legacy franchises, the Giants, all being good. He would rather have that. In the same way that Adam Silver, if you gave him truth serum, he would like the Lakers, the Celtics, the legacy franchises in the NBA. He would like them, the Sixers. He would like those teams to be good. You wouldn't be sitting here talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo playing in Milwaukee. So get over it if you think that the league is out to get your team. That's not the case. The league benefits from your team being interesting. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com. Big Mike at McGillicuddy's. The Patriot haters love all this, and the Pats fans are what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. As an Eagles fan, I just sit back and watch it all unfold, and you probably do that with a championship belt on because the Eagles are Super Bowl champions. One more thing, staying in the NFC East and transitioning to a very serious topic. Dave Gettleman, Giants GM, sidelined with lymphoma. Now, he's confident he's going to beat it. He's 67 years old. We hope that he will. I told you last week that I love a lot of things about the Giants offseason program. I told you last week on Friday that I love nothing more than what Pat Shurmur said about learning from his mistakes as a head coach the first time around. I'm replacing that even further today. Mark Herzlich is a little-used Giants linebacker. See him on special teams. He's a guy who beat cancer himself back in college at Boston College. And he has been sharing words of encouragement for Dave Gettleman, giving him tips on things to do through chemo. He says he's going to go visit Gettleman in the hospital and be part of chemo with him one day. On the surface, that sounds like just a nice gesture, right? But I think it speaks to more than that. The Giants are working to create a family environment. They're trying to create culture that breeds winning. And you can say chicken or the egg. What comes first? Winning and then a good culture is a byproduct of that, or winning is a byproduct of a good culture? And I think it's the latter. You need a good culture established, and then I think it becomes an enjoyable place to go to work, and then winning comes as a result of that. You can put all the talent in the world in one spot, but if you don't have great culture, it doesn't really matter. You can have a great culture. You need to have a great culture in order to build that winning tradition. That's what the Giants are trying to do. And Mark Herzlich saying that he's going to go be part of chemo with his GM, that speaks to something far bigger to me than just football. Now, maybe Mark Herzlich's just a great guy, and I believe that that's probably true. But for him to support his GM so openly, that's not something that happens with bosses all over the country. You don't see that kind of behavior from subordinates to their boss. And I really like that the Giants are creating an environment where the players feel a connection to the front office in a way that they want to go and support Dave Gettleman through what is likely one of the most challenging times in his life, and probably, without knowing his full medical history, the most challenging part of his own personal life. Good on Mark Herzlich, good on the Giants, good on Gettleman, good on Shurmur for creating an environment where that kind of behavior is able to go on, because that's not the same in every business across the country. Red Sox against the Orioles coming up, lineups in about 30 seconds. Jeff in Plattsburgh says, Brady, you're right. How do you just suspend someone for an unknown substance? That's like getting pulled over for speeding with no radar gun or posted speed limit. Exactly. We think you were going too fast, but we don't know for sure. That is the best analogy we have seen so far. Look, again, I'm not saying Julian Edelman's innocent. I'm just saying figure out that he's 100% guilty before you suspend him. The Red Sox are 44-22. The Orioles are 19-45. Steven Wright's 2-0 with a 1.57 ERA. Dylan Bundy's 4-7 with a 4.04. He is the pitcher for the Orioles. Lineup, Mookie Betts off the DL back in right. 359, 17 homers, 13 steals. Andrew Benintendi in left. J.D. Martinez, the DH. Mitch Moreland at first. Xander Bogaerts at short. Rafael Devers at third. Eduardo Nunez at second. Christian Vasquez, the catcher. Jackie Bradley Jr. is in center. For the O's, Joey Rickards in right, Adam Jones in center. Jonathan Scopes at second, Danny Valencia at third, Mark Trumbo the DH, Trey Mancini in left, Chris Davis at first, Chance Sisko the catcher, and Jace Peterson is at shortstop. That will do it for us for Short Show. I told you it was going to be short. For Rich and Arnie in the huddle, and for all the interns today, intern Lewis, intern Lance, and intern Colton, I'm Brady. We'll see you tomorrow with Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3. ESPN 101.3, ESPN.com, and the 101.3 ESPN app.